You're listening to Diversonomics, a Gowling WLG podcast.
Welcome to Diversonomics, the podcast about diversity and inclusion from Gowling WLG. I'm your co-host, Sarah, practicing in commercial litigation and professional liability in the Gowling WLG Ottawa office.
And also from Gowling WLG I Ottawa, I am your co-host, Roberto Oberto, practicing in municipal law. We're very pleased to welcome our very own Lorraine Mastersmith today, who is a partner also in the Ottawa office practicing in corporate and securities law. When she came and joined Gowling WLG, I was really excited to see her enter into our diversity and inclusion network. Lorraine sits as a regional ambassador on the Regional Ambassador Council for Ottawa of Women Get On Board, which is a member-based company that connects, promotes, and empowers women to corporate boards. So welcome, Lorraine. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. I'm happy to be here.
One thing that we all have in common here today, aside from diversity and inclusion, is the Laurier connection. We're all Golden Hawks who did our undergraduates at Wilfrid Laurier University.
Oh, are we really?
I didn't realize that.
That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Yeah, very great to see all the Golden Hawks getting involved in the diversity and inclusion context.
There you go.
So, Lorraine, can you tell our listeners a little bit about your career path?
Sure. So, I started practicing law in 1993. Well, I articled at Perley Robertson in 93. And then after articles started in a small firm of five lawyers, and I was the only female lawyer in that firm. I joined Mitel Corporation in 1999, advising their supply chain and operations divisions. And that division was subsequently sold to a company called Breckenridge in 2001. And so I became general counsel and corporate secretary at Breckenridge. And I was there from about 2001 until 2008. And in 2008, I decided it was time for me to come back to private practice and give that another go. And I became an income partner at Perley Robertson then from 2008 until 2016, when I joined Gowling's here just in December.
And what made you specifically interested in gender equity issues?
So it's funny, when I was in law school, my class was over 50% women. But then when I joined the workforce, that just didn't seem to be the case. I mean, I think when I articled, my articling group was 50% women. But then as I progressed through, my first position in a law firm, I was the only woman that was a lawyer. And then, in my experience progressed into different sort of senior positions in the corporate world, in my in-house roles, that's where I got a real exposure to this disparity between males and females at the executive levels and in the boardrooms. I was the vice president and corporate secretary at Breckenridge, and so I was always the only woman in the boardroom at board meetings and only one of two women in any sort of executive level meetings at the company. So it started to bother me, like, why are there so few women here? Why is it always the men that are running the show? So that's kind of where my interest evolved from, just sort of experience and just noticing, there is a disparity and I don't understand the reason for it. When we all started from the same level, I don't know where things fell off the rails.
And that's interesting. That's actually a topic we talked about during a panel Gowling WLG hosted in honor of International Women's Day. And the conversation really focused around the need to get more women involved in executive level and leadership positions, obviously within the legal profession, but also just within all types of organizations across Canada, which I think ties into the work Women Get On Board is doing. So can you tell us a little bit about this company and how you became involved?
Sure. So Women Get On Board is an organization that was founded in Toronto in 2015, so it's very recent, by a lady named Deborah Rosati. And I've known Deborah for many years. She was originally in the technology community in Ottawa. She was a CFO of several companies, technology companies, when I was in my in-house roles. So we sort of met in a professional capacity as sort of colleagues and peers. And she later, branched her career path, became becoming a director on several different companies, and that's now her full-time career. She just is a corporate board director for a number of large organizations. And so Deborah sees on a daily basis in her roles the disparity that exists between males and females around the boardroom tables. So she started Women Get On Board in an attempt to address this disparity. So when she started Women Get On Board, I was I became one of her founding members. I think I was one of the first, I don't know how many were founding members, maybe 100 of us that first joined that were the first to sign up became, we were called founding members. And I just was really interested in it because at the same time I had just become a independent director on the board at Ross Video. So I was interested in the support that Deborah's organization might be able to provide. Her experience would be of benefit to me. And I was just looking for some commonality and experience from other women sort of doing the same thing. And so I jokingly said to Deborah, you know, are you going to ever have any events in Ottawa? Because it's a bit of a pain for me to come to Toronto every time you're hosting something. And then last fall, she called me and said, you know what, I'm going to open a council in Ottawa of Women Get On Board, and I want you to be on it. So that's sort of where I became involved. And our regional ambassador council here, so only formed in the fall of 2016. And I'm on the council with, I think, five other women. And we've hosted two events now in Ottawa, which have been very well attended. And the whole point of the organization is to, you know, host events. We host three events per year on topics of interest to people who either want to obtain a board position or to improve their performance as a board member. And the organization also has online training tools available to its members.
And how does your work tie into the work that Catalyst does, which for our listeners is a not-for-profit organization aimed at accelerating progress for women through workplace inclusion? Are the two organizations connected?
Well, Debbie, I shouldn't call her Debbie. She goes by Deborah. I know her as Debbie. Deborah's an alumni of Catalyst, and so she often speaks on panels with the organizers of Catalyst. So I see the two organizations as fairly complementary to each other. Catalyst has a sort of a different angle. Like the women who are part of Catalyst have been sponsored, and organizations pay, I think, $10,000 per woman who becomes part of the Catalyst organization. So it's quite expensive. So Women Get On Board is a sort of much less expensive sort of way to get involved in board opportunities. But it works together with Catalyst, with also firms like organizations like the 30% Club, the ICD, the Institute of Corporate Directors, ITAC Women on Board, and the Directors College. So all of those organizations, they work collaboratively together to help advance gender diversity in the boardroom.
Oh, fantastic. And so as a female leader in the legal profession, do you feel like you've faced challenges or barriers throughout your career? Obviously, there are clear barriers in place in the sense that there historically has been a lack of females in leadership positions. But what has been your personal experience?
Well, I always hate to say, you know, I don't like to sound like I have a chip on my shoulder or to say that, you know, women face more challenges than men. I don't like to look at it that way. I just find it very interesting the way things have evolved. And it, you know, I don't know what the cause is or what the reason is or you know, what's going on. But I think the fact that we are actually having these conversations is really good. I think everybody's facing challenges in you know, it's a difficult thing to do to obtain a paying board position. I think that's a challenge for anybody, regardless of your background or gender or whatever. I think, you know, it's so important to make connections. And I think that maybe that's therein lies the problem is often, you know, boards will look to who they know when there's an opening on their board. They want to fill that opening with someone who they know. And often those networks then tend to be a little closed. And so I think if, you know, things are going to change, people need to look beyond their core networks of people to when they're doing board searches and that sort of thing. But I think for myself, I don't think I saw that as the challenge. I guess it's a little intimidating when you are the only woman at the table and you don't have a female leader to look up to or to look to for mentorship or guidance. So you have to sort of look laterally rather than above you. So, I mean, aside from that, I think, you know, you need to find champions to help you and not to be afraid to ask for help. And you also have to decide whether it's something you're interested in doing. And if it is, then take steps to get there. And you know, take education courses and make connections with people that can help you, people who are on existing boards, and ask them how they got there and what you could do to improve your opportunities. I think really, for me, I just tend to focus not on the negative and what it appears I can't do, but I like to focus on what I can do to change sort of any sort of negative perceptions.
And I think that is a really great outlook. You've already identified some tips and advice for individuals who are looking to take on leadership roles, but do you have any other tips for young lawyers or even just young professionals in general who might want to either take on a board position or some other executive level position one day?
Yeah, I mean, I think for one, I think it can be a really incredibly rewarding experience. And so if you have a particular area of interest, you know, whether it's in a not-for-profit or a for-profit company, if there's some area that really interests you and, you know, you get excited talking about it, then you should pursue becoming a leader in that. And one way to do that is to you know, come on an advisory board, on a not-for-profit board, surround yourself with supportive people, and don't be afraid to ask for their help. And what I have found is, you know, often a little bit of pro bono work can really go a long way in the way others perceive you. I'm convinced that it has had a lot to do with how I've sort of evolved in my roles. You know, I've had people call me and ask me questions, and I haven't sent them a bill for it. I've, you know, talked to them through it and thought, you know, that's fine. I'm not going to bill you. You're a friend of a friend or whatever. And, you know, that it gets paid back in you know, return. It'll come at you from where you're not even expecting it, and suddenly somebody will say, oh, well, I got this referral from, you know, somebody's telling me to come to you because you did this for them. And I'm thinking, oh, well, that's a fantastic way to get new business or opportunities.
Yeah, so. Exactly.
What would you say are the key challenges to getting more female representation on boards?
I would say one of the key challenges is there's often cited this reason that there are so few female board members is there's a perception out there that there are not enough qualified women to fill these positions when they come available. And I think that's really an easy excuse, and it's not a reason that's justified by the facts. So, you know, I think that's really the key challenge is how do we change that perception and not make it so easy for, I mean, even the comply or explain rules. I think it's too easy for companies to say, oh, you know, they offer a canned response to that comply or explain requirement, you know, that yes, we consider women and we always appoint the most appropriate person to the position. Well, I think a little more thought needs to go into that. And I think organizations need to understand the benefits that their organizations will attain from having diversity in their boardrooms and on their executive level.
And how can men be allies or champions in that regard?
Yeah, so in my view, men are critical to this whole process. Like, men are currently the people who are occupying these positions, and we need them on our team. And I can tell you, I've met lots of men who are very much in favor of these initiatives and are more than happy to help out and to encourage you and to introduce you, make introductions. But I think one specific thing that men can do is when that perception is raised that, you know, we've looked and there's just nobody qualified that happens to be a female, so we're going to go with the same sort of white male that we've always hired. And, you know, when that perception is raised, the men who are in those positions, they need to stand up and say, no, you know, that's, I don't believe you. I think that's incorrect, and I don't think we're looking hard enough. You know, there's all these organizations like Women Get On Board. There's the ICD website. There's Catalyst. They all have databases of qualified female board candidates. So there's got to be somebody who would fit in your organization that's on those lists. And the men who are CEOs and chairs of boards, they need to lead by example and treat board diversity as a strategic opportunity to build a better board for their organizations and not a painful regulatory requirement that they have to pay homage to. You know, in my view, the explanations, you know, I think I've said this, but the explanations of for the lack of gender diversity provided in public disclosures in public companies, those disclosures are really weak in my view, and they show a significant level of disinterest in actually achieving gender diversity. So I think, you know, men in those roles, when they're Anybody has the power to influence that disclosure should be, you know, really questioning whether, you know, any sort of real thought and effort has gone into actually increasing diversity on the board and in the management teams of these corporations. So, you know, they can do things like perform annual assessments of their board composition for diversity, and not only of gender, but also of thought, skills, experience, industry, and geographic, just to make sure that they're not all yes men saying the same thing that the CEO is saying. You know, it needs to provide some arena for really thoughtful discussion.
Where do you see this organization going in the future? What types of programming and opportunities do you see coming up?
So Women Get On Board so we've now expanded from Toronto to Ottawa, and they have a mandate to expand across Canada to have regional ambassador councils in hosting events in Montreal, Ottawa, Toronto, Calgary, and Vancouver. And so that's great. I mean, to expand it nationally and get the conversations going across the country and engaging, you know, women and men in senior positions across the country to share their experiences and help empower other women to build their competencies and be connected to opportunities to serve on board. So I think that that's a great initiative that the Women Get On Board is taking, and I'm really happy to be a part of it.
Fantastic. Well, thank you so much for being here with us today, Lorraine.
Yeah, my pleasure.
And listeners, we're looking for your involvement. If you ever have any questions, comments, or ideas for topics and guests, please look us up at gallingwlg.com and get in touch with us. We'd love to hear from you. Also, make sure to check out our show notes for this episode at gallingwlg.com/diversonomics9.
And last but not least, make sure to subscribe on iTunes so you don't ever miss an episode. And while you're at it, leave us a review and let us know what you think.
And you can also follow me on Twitter on @RobRoberto. Do you have anything to plug, Lorraine?
Sure, you can also follow me on Twitter at LKMBizLaw, BIZLAW. And I just would like to encourage everyone to seek opportunities to be agents of change to help clients and colleagues achieve diversity in the leadership of their organizations.
And what's the website for Women Get On Board?
It's www.womengetonboard.ca.
Fantastic. Well, thanks again. Diversonomics was presented to you by Gowling WLG. See you next time.